We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long in studio. 545, Steve Geller joins us for our Bet 365 triple option feature. A little after 520 tonight, we'll have on with us Nick Friedel, who's our NBA basketball insider with Odyssey Sports. Make a lot to talk about on that end.
Been a roller coaster with
man, Nick, and he gets a kick out of
it.
He said, I love doing the show with y'all. Man, y'all have a good time with it and everything. So we'll have Nick on with us a little after 520. Let's go to our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to Darren in Metairie. Darren, you're in the huddle with Mike and Charlie.
Hey, how y'all doing tonight, guys?
Right, Darren.
Okay, two questions. One of them is, do you think Trevor Penning should be moved to left guard?
My opinion of it is, with a new coaching staff, I want to see how he looks like at left tackle. I want to see that.
New line coach John Benton, new run game coordinator
and
Rick Dennison.
I want to see if they can maybe straighten out some of the issues technically. Now, here's my thing, and I've told this to Charlie. Darren, if you got technical issues at left tackle, you're going to have technical issues using your arms and your hands at left guard, too.
Okay.
It is part of the pass protection part, and we were laughing about it today with someone who used to work here, and he said, Mike, I'll never forget when they picked Trevor Penning, and you said, good athlete, can run block, but he's going to need a lot of work as a pass protector, and that has sort of turned out to be correct. Trevor has not picked up the nuances of being a pass protector at the NFL level. You don't play that type of athlete at Northern Iowa. You might play him once or twice a year. Now it's every week you're playing him.
And I want to get your opinion on three draft prospects.
Okay.
One is the running back from Louisville, Isaac Garendo. Is that how you say his name?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tight end from TCU, Jared Wiley.
I like him.
And the tackle from BYU, Kingsley
Sumate.
Sumate. Yeah. Okay, I'll give you Kingsley first. He was the last one. I think he's an early to mid second round pick. He is, if you were to build the tackle and so to speak out of stone, that's what he looks like. Now, Kingsley has some issues on the technical side. A lot of times it's breakdown with him. I think at times he looks really good as a pass protector. Moves his feet well. He's got long arms, can steer you. And then sometimes he's not real focused, and it sort of breaks down on him. He's a really good run blocker also. Then other times he's sort of leaning on an athlete. So I think there's some fire there with him. But it's to get the technique part down with Kingsley. I think sometimes he's been so much bigger, faster, stronger than everybody else that you can get away with that. In the NFL, you're not going to be able to do that. It just doesn't work. But I think he'll be early to mid second round selection. And I think with a patient offensive line coach, he's got a chance to be awfully good. And I think there are some teams that may have him as a late first-round pick, especially if they start peeling off the board. Athletically, that's nothing Kingsley can't do because he's built for the park. He's almost like he come out of central casting as a left tackle.
Yeah, so Kingsley's an interesting one, Mike. I didn't mention him when I brought up Jordan Morgan because I feel like he's going to be in that range as well, but I just like Morgan better as a prospect personally. But
he's been more consistently productive
than Kingsley. It seems like your kind of comments about Kingsley are – a little bit reminiscent about the stuff that we were hearing about Trevor Penning coming out, right? So I'm a little bit nervous about that, but I think that there's a couple different tackle prospects in the second round if you, in fact, do take Brock Bowers with the 14th overall pick, which, once again, I do think is still not necessarily off the table. So that's something to keep an eye on, but ultimately, I don't think he's a first-round prospect. But I think that there's a lot of guys that will fly off the board. He'll still fall into the second round.
It's always a doctor feel in football.
Yes, that someone will fall in love with them. But at the same time, you also, to Darren's question about Jared Wiley, the tight end from TCU, we mentioned him a couple weeks ago when we were talking about guys that could go higher than originally projected.
He's like, a second-round pick guy.
Brock Bowers is, you know, the guy in this class as far as tight ends go.
In my opinion, Jared's two.
Jared's number two. A lot of people really like Sanders from Texas as well. But, you know, I think it's going to be kind of close between those two guys. Man, I think Wiley's flying up draft boards.
And Jared is a big man. Started out at Texas. Maybe didn't work out for him there. Goes to TCU. He is a big body tackle that they've flexed out. He's almost like another receiver. Catches the ball well in space. I think that the vision for him at Texas maybe wasn't quite right, but you watched him at TCU. He really progressed last year, and you saw him become a much better route runner. His ability to spear the ball out of the sky because of his size with his hands, he's really gotten good at that, and he got some wheels on him. He can move. So I think he's the number two tight end. He is my number two tight end in this draft class. I think he goes in round two. With Isaac, man, he's a shifty guy. He makes you miss out in space. He's got another gear out into the open field, and he can catch the ball coming out the backfield. Now, in a real deep class of running backs, even though none will go in round one, the beef of this, and Charlie and I have done these segments, that's going to be a lot of guys sort of go in the third and fourth round. That's where I would suspect Isaac will go. Late third into the fourth round, and he's an electrifying little guy. Man, he can make you miss out into the open field. I think Jonathan Brooks, had it not been for the injury, he would have been a guy that would push the first round pick kind of button. But because he's coming off the ACL injury, I think he goes in round two. And then Trey Benson, who is a combination big man, power, speed, can catch the football, will be the number two guy. But Isaac could be one of these mid-round guys that ends up really showing up big in the NFL because he can catch the ball so well coming out of the backfield. I think, and he's been a heavy-duty runner now, too. When they needed something at Louisville, they gave it to Isaac, and he made it work.
I don't think necessarily running backs will start peeling off the board once Jonathan Brooks gets taken in the second round because it may be more kind of the third round. It's still going to be day two.
I think third and fourth.
Yeah, I would agree. So Jonathan Brooks, Mike, is your, let's see, 54th ranked prospect on your big board.
If you'd asked me that in November, I'd have said probably 27.
Wow.
28. Yeah, because until the injury, Charlie, he was playing at a real high level.
Yeah. And so, once again, but I think your next guy is Trey Benson, right?
Trey Benson's
around like 70. So you're looking at running backs. We talked a little bit about, you know, where they'll go in this draft. Like, I think Jonathan Brooks is the only clear-cut second-round guy. And then, you know, a bunch of guys will go in that third round, starting with probably Trey Benson. Maybe Benson sneaks into the back end of the second if a team really loves him. But the third round is where you're going to start to see the run on running backs go.
Yeah, third and fourth round is where you're going to get value, talent. And in today, I always kind of put the balloon up about how much thread is off the tires on a back. But today, it's always running back by committee. No matter how good that back is, he's alternating with somebody else. So he's not the heavy-duty back of maybe you saw yesteryear that was carrying the football 22 to 25 times a game. Now it's more the 17 to 20, and he maybe catches a couple passes coming out of the backfield. I think a guy with not a lot of thread off the tires is Trey Benson. Despite the fact he's been kind of the bell cow guy for Florida State.
FSU's sneakily been a pretty good running back factory, too, in recent years.
But they ain't look like Trey.
Yeah, that's true.
Trey's a big man out there running the football. And you know, he gives you that speed, that power, that quickness, but he also catches the ball real clean coming out the backfield. So good questions on the draft. We'll be back, and we'll have on with us our NBA basketball insider from Odyssey Sports, Nick Friedell, right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dottiglia along with Charlie Long in studio. And on our Oakland Hort Jewelers talk and text line is Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedell. Insider calls are brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure. Nick, what a wild ride we've been through, man. Okay, you get into the play-in tournament, and then all of a sudden we are watching Zion. After this team played in El Lazio second quarter, Zion takes over. And to me, he's playing the best basketball game we've ever seen him play in. In a Pelicans uniform, buzzard luck, the hamstring injury. And so you had a team that you had had some difficulties matching up against the Lakers. It didn't go right at the end. Again, the Lakers took over late. But now you go up against a Sacramento team that you 5-0 against this year. And you beat them. You beat them one time by over 30 points, and Zion didn't play. But what a crazy, series of events.
All I thought about, guys, as I was watching the game the other night, especially at the end of the game, I was thinking about the conversations we've been having over the last month. Because truly, I agree with you. I've followed Zion since he was a Duke. I've tried to follow him from a distance as he attempted to stay on the floor. That was absolutely the best game I've ever seen him play. It was like he finally had everything click in, and he went, now's the time, and I'm going to carry this team across the finish line, past the Lakers, and into the postseason. And sadly, we know what happened, but on a broader note to start at least, this is why the league just doesn't trust that Zion can be the guy. Because just when you think that he's ready to turn the corner and that everything is going to finally fall in his favor and feel good for the Pelicans, something always happens. It's like our brains have been conditioned to believe that it just can't be this great all the time. And you feel bad for him on a personal level, but this is the business of pro sports. So the Zion conversation aside, the issue for the Pelicans is they had that game. And if he stays on the floor and he makes a couple buckets and he doesn't get injured, We are having a completely different conversation. Correct. What worries me, guys, going into tomorrow now is, we've been talking about the Kings and the Pelicans, I feel like, for a few weeks at this point. And the dominance that they've had, the Kings had one of the biggest wins they've had in their franchise's history in the last 15 years, knocking out the Warriors, finally knocking out Steph. Getting to this point, I feel like they have a ton of momentum, on top of the fact that they're playing against a team that they know their star isn't going to be there. So you can't feel great if you're New Orleans, but as you put it, Mike, I mean, this is a moment where you say, hey, we've done it before, certainly, against Sacramento. We've done it without Zion. We can do it again, but the three of us know to beat a team six times. I mean, to beat a team four times is pretty crazy. To beat a team five times, you never really see. Six times, that is a real, real big ask, but you really feel good if you're New Orleans because you've done it so many times before.
Nick, do you really trust the Kings? You know, Charlie and I were talking about this. Okay, they had a 4-point lead at halftime against the Warriors. It should have been 14. They shooting wild shots all over. Now, every once in a while they play defense. Now, in the third and fourth quarter, they were – I mean, it was money. Everything they shot went in.
Keegan Murray had like a career night.
I mean, that was, unreal for him. But this team with Sacramento, and they're talented. There's no question about it. And they can put the ball in the hoop when they get hot. But they're so schizophrenic about, one, playing defense, almost allergic to it. And then secondly, when they get a lead, man, they jacking up everything from all over the court. And so that's what gives me a little bit of hope that this Pelicans team has a shot here. But, man, they're going to need a lot of help, a lot more help than what they got from C.J. McCollum, who had really been a big part of that success down the stretch. And they need Brandon Ingram out on the court, you know, making buckets. He can't be sitting on the bench watching.
Nick, before you give this response, I want to actually get your thoughts on Brandon Ingram because, I mean, it's been kind of highlighted a little bit. Like, there's been a microscope on how he reacted to getting benched in that game. He did not play well against the Lakers. Nobody's going to argue that. I think it was actually the right decision by Willie Green. But when the Pelicans were making that fourth quarter comeback and he was sitting on the bench, a lot of the team was getting fired up for Zion and Jose and the team. Like, the guys were making the shots and they were making that comeback. And Brandon was just kind of sulking on the bench. I didn't really – like, his body language was a little bit concerning, especially because now you have to call upon him to lead this team to a win against the Sacramento team, which, as you said, is really hot entering the game.
Well, let's start with Ingram because I think it's a point that's well taken. If you're Ingram and you have made it to this point and you've been in New Orleans now a little bit and you've got the salary that you're making, this is when you show that you're a pro's pro. In this moment, because he didn't play very well, played 25 minutes. We saw what happened down the stretch. This is where you have to forget all that stuff. And I am sure Willie Green's having that conversation with him leading into this game. Hey, look, it's over. You have to be the guy, and you have to show a lot more than what you've shown, certainly in that game against the Lakers. Guys, the other key on top of Ingram and the talent that we know he has, C.J. McCollum can't go 4-for-15.
No.
I mean, the fact that New Orleans was in that game shows how great Zion was playing. But C.J. McCollum has been so good, and to just no-show like that, you can't have that if you really want to go to the postseason. So always in these games, and again, we've hit on this over the course of the last few weeks, your stars have to show up. You can talk about any different role player you want, and sometimes, I mean, Keegan Murray is perfect. If in Sacramento, you know, he had a great game. Okay, great. But your stars have to be the ones to set the tone and lead the way and win. Those two guys have the most pressure on them in New Orleans. Now, as far as do I trust Sacramento, the answer would be no. You can't trust Sacramento because Sacramento will show you and has shown you, certainly over the course of the last couple of years, when they're running well, okay, great. And De'Aaron Fox is playing well, and we get contributions from different guys that we've seen. We saw that the other night. Great, okay. But do you really believe that they're going to play defense at a high level throughout a game? That was the most surprising part to me about that Golden State game, guys, is in the second half, the Warriors just fell completely apart, and the Kings were hitting shots. You can bank on, though, in most games, because we've seen it the last few seasons, Sacramento's going to give you a chance to get back in it. So even if that game starts out and Sacramento is running off the momentum they built after that win, their defense is not very good. It hasn't been very good. So you're always going to give yourself a chance. The question is, do you have the offensive firepower that you're going to need? Pelicans showed it at various points in the regular season, but as we all know, the intensity will be different in that game. And when you can't turn to Zion and say, bail us out, well, Ingram and McCollum better be there. And if they are there, they should be able to find a way to win one more time.
Insider calls are brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure with capable features like available H-Track all-wheel drive and standard third-row seating. When you look at the matchups here, and we brought this up before the Pelicans played the Lakers, that, you know, wasn't a great matchup, but, you know, the Pelicans hung in there, And they got a lot of conspiracy theory people. Oh, watch what happens. The Lakers are going to lay down. they don't want to play Denver. They're not going to, you know, they're going to throw this game. Come on, that's not going to happen in that spot. Both of them trying to get in.
Nick, you watched that game on Tuesday. Anyone that may have kind of suggested that they would be ducking the Nuggets to try and get that matchup, matchup.
But how many people we had on that text line say the exact same thing about that?
Doesn't happen.
But now, man, it's if you don't win, you go home. And you stay in there for quite some time. You're going to get great effort from both teams. Now, again, the shooting part, and we brought up about CJ that he had been so good down the stretch, and yet it didn't happen. I think, for me, Trey Murphy has to be the key guy here as now a starter. He's got to be that guy. And he put up a couple of moonshots. I mean, that ball was way skied up there that went in. He can't just get hot late. He's got to be from early on. And Trey has played much better as a starter than coming off the bench.
I agree. I think it is very valid as you start to break down what's going on. But, guys, the reason I would still feel confident, if you're a Pelicans fan, and you've watched how the team has been built the last couple of years, is when they need it, there are defensive stops that team can make. And they have shown it at times. But when you play against a team like Sacramento, that just loves to get up and down the floor, if you set a defensive tone early, and I know there's so much talk. I saw the tweets from New Orleans. Oh, there's still tickets to the game. There's playing fatigue in New Orleans. Look, I've been there. I was there a few years ago covering that series in New Orleans when they played the Warriors. That building, Old Smoothie King, can get loud. People are into it. I think this is a moment for that New Orleans fan base to show up. So on top of Murphy and on top of Ingram and McCollum being able to set the tone offensively, those are all keys. But in the biggest of postseason games, and certainly this is it, the true winner-go-home game now, you need everybody to show up and just be loud the whole time. And for a young team like Sacramento that does not like to play defense, if you knock them in the mouth early and you start hitting shots early, I think that's the type of performance that can propel you, especially when everybody knows they're going to have to pick up more slack without Zion on the floor.
And defense, I think, is a really good point, Nick. And I'm going to go to a specific matchup that the Kings have struggled. I mean, going 0-5 is one thing. They were asking De'Aaron Fox about a postgame. He said that they need to get over that hump. But De'Aaron Fox needs to get over his own personal hump against the Pelicans' wing defensive players because he just hasn't done it this year. And I think we would both agree that maybe Domas Sabonis is, you know, the better player potentially. But if you're talking about the leader of that team, it's De'Aaron Fox. He is a stud, a superstar-level player for that team at point guard. Now, I do hold a little bit of grudge against him because, you know, he had three possessions late against that Suns team in the second-to-last game of the season that could have booked the Pelicans at six seed.
Charlie
got to
get
score once.
You got to get over that, Charlie.
He was the clutch player of the
that.
Year last year, and he couldn't score once in three different possessions. So, I mean, you know, Nick, I'm still a little bit of upset that they didn't get that six seed. But moving on from that, De'Aaron Fox against the Pelicans this year, in five games, believe it or not, has a plus-minus of minus 85. And if you'll remember, Nick, there was one matchup against the Pels. I think it was actually the game that they played without Zion, where Herb Jones just locked him down. He had 3 points in that game. So, I mean, De'Aaron Fox is a great player. He's kind of the highlighted player that you look at on the Sacramento Kings squad alongside someone like Domantas Sabonis. But the Pelicans have really done a great job against him this year. Give me your thoughts on that matchup.
I think it is a fantastic point because when you see De'Aaron Fox on that team, he is the head of the snake.
Yep.
He is the guy that sets the tone offensively. He's the guy that gets the rest of that group going. He's the guy that Mike Brown has a ton of confidence in to keep everybody in motion. We've talked about several different keys for the Pelicans, but Charlie, I think that one is crucial. When you have Herb Jones, and I know that's not a name that a lot of people nationally still pay that much attention to, although they should, but I know the good people in New Orleans know how well he can play, especially on the defensive end. If Herb Jones has that type of performance against De'Aaron Fox, that's it. I think that is it. They have other weapons, sure. But
I'm not expecting Keegan Murray to have the same sort of game that he had the other night. I'm not expecting C.J. McCollum to shoot as poorly from the field as he did. You have to play the averages, and the averages tell you that New Orleans just has this team's number. So on top of what they can do on the offensive end, if Herb Jones is able to set that kind of tone against Fox, the Kings aren't going to be able to turn around and find that many other options. And that's the key, I think, to me, especially early in this one. If you're trying to find ways to get your team a little extra motivation, and Willie Green is trying to find a way to get these guys out of the mental rut of losing Zion, at least for a while, certainly in this matchup, you have got to find other guys to stand up and to take charge. And I think Herb can be one of those guys. And I think that team believes in him. And when you have a guy who can play defense at the level that he can, that has the ability to get everybody else fired up. And that has the ability to get your team the edge when they need it, especially early in a really big game.
Nick, thanks so much for joining us. Man, really appreciate it. Always have great insights. And hopefully we still basketball breathing here with
Nick,
Pels
next week. You know, and I hate to say this because I was talking with one of the Pelicans reporters back on, I think, Tuesday, previewing the game against the Lakers. I was just like, hopefully we can be talking about their first-round matchup against the Nuggets. And that sounds crazy to say. I just want to be back in the postseason, Nick. I want to be back in the playoffs. Yeah. So hopefully we'll be talking to you next week.
Yeah, whatever happens in the postseason, but you got to
get there.
Because 49 wins, and to have it sort of be settled Friday and you're not in,
that'd be rough.
That's a kick in below the equator. Thanks so much, Nick. We appreciate it, buddy.
Always, guys. Always enjoy talking to you.
All right.
Thanks, Nick.
That was Odyssey NBA Insider Nick Friedell. Insider calls are brought to you by the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, equipped for adventure. We'll be back, and it'll be our Bet 365 triple option feature. Myself, Charlie Long, and also Steve Geller right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, our Bet 365 triple option feature. Three of us give our top takes on the top stories in sports today. Steve, you up to bat.
Well, how about those Lady Tigers? We've talked about softball, women's basketball, the gymnastics team guys in the NCAA championship semifinals are moving on to the national championship. LSU taking down California, Stanford, and Arkansas today. That semifinal matchup at Fort Worth, Texas. And the Tigers really just dominated all around. You got into the scoring. I know a lot of people might not be familiar with how gymnastics scored, but LSU ends up with a 198.1125, and Cal was number two at 197.7. So congratulations to the Lady Tigers, the gymnastics team, headed to the national championship. That's going to be on Saturday. So hopefully another big win for LSU and a national title coming to the school.
Charlie?
Guys, I'm going to review the odds, the draft odds for the Saints at pick 14. Steve, you sent this to us the other day. I think it's pretty interesting. Adam Thompson of bookies.com has the Saints favored for Olufoshinu. The left tackle from Penn State is currently the betting favorite for the Saints to draft at number 14. Right below him, Talisa Fuanga, the right tackle from Oregon State, a different type of player, different side of the line as well, at plus 250. And then Amarius Mims, the tackle from Georgia, is the third highest betting odds, which I think is pretty interesting. Mike, I would imagine that that's maybe a trade down spot. I don't expect Mims to necessarily go at 14. Maybe he's closer to 20, but who knows? Maybe a team falls in love with his potential. There's that P word again, the potential of Amarius Mims.
And I like to hear potential.
Yeah,
I
no,
like
me
to
either.
Hear production. Now, he was productive when he was healthy.
So there's
eight
top
games?
Yeah, and that's not a lot of tape, Mike. So those top three guys are tackles. The first guy that's not an offensive tackle is a defensive tackle. Texas's Byron Murphy, who's a different look from, obviously, Brian Bercy, who they drafted defensive tackle in the first round last year. Bercy's kind of the bigger 6'5" type of defensive tackle, great pass rusher. Byron Murphy's more of an all-around defensive tackle from Texas. He's closer to 6 feet. He's kind of the prototypical build for one of those guys. And then after him, a guy that you and I really both like, Mike, Troy Fautanu, the guard from Washington that can also play tackle, that versatility that we really love on the offensive line. And then Johnny Newton's the only other guy on the board that has a name. And he's kind of similar. You know, I was talking about Byron Murphy's a different build. he's kind of similar to Brian Bercy in the way that they play defensive tackle, where he gets after the quarterback a lot better in pass rush, but you know, maybe he has a lot of work to do on defending the run, so to speak. So those are those names off the board. Once again, Olufoshinu is the leading odds favorite right now. Talisa Fuanga from Oregon State, Amarius Mims, Byron Murphy, Troy Fautanu, and Johnny Newton. It seems like the bookies are on the money with this. The Saints are going to be drafting on the lines in the first round.
Yeah, one thing with Byron Murphy, you ain't getting underneath his pads. Mm. Not at 6 foot tall. You know, if you're an offensive lineman, man, you got to get awfully low to get underneath those pads. Byron's a really good football player.
I was going to say, Mike, if he's still around at 14, would you have a tough time?
I would consider him, but I would go with offensive tackle. But Byron is a guy I really, really like. I think he's not going to last too much longer than 14. But, man, Byron made some plays, and everything went on Sweat, who was the huge defensive tackle. And I think all of us sort of in the business knew, and he admitted it. Man, I'm a happy-go-lucky kind of party guy, had a great time. And then he gets busted, gets the DUI, and, you know, just a couple weeks back. Come on, you got to understand the timing of this. And, you know.
Couldn't be worse.
No, it was bad for him, and I think it slips him. I think it also happened to Dak Prescott. Almost the exact same way. Now, Dak wasn't a party guy, but he got caught with a DUI late, and it dropped him into the fourth round. He would have never lasted that long. Never. But timing is everything come draft time. Man, happy birthday to Willie Rofe today. Greatest offensive lineman the Saints have ever had. 54 years young today. Willie was built like a table. I mean, he was all body. Man, you know, he had those sort of thin legs, and he walked almost like somebody put rocks in his cleats. You know, it was almost like he had difficulties walking. But what a great athlete, a tremendous football player. Jari Evans will be in Pro Football's Hall of Fame one day. He was an interior player. But Willie was unreal manning that left side. Man, I wish we had Willie Rofe today. Amen. That's all I can tell you. Willie could flat out play. Also, too, 86 years old today. Got to wish it to him. He listens in every once in a while. Richie Pettibone. My old pal, he was good friends with Buddy DiLiberto, who anchored this spot for so many years. Man, they had some – let me clean this up. Man, they had some good talking and good stories going on between those two guys sort of growing up together. But, man, Richie, 86 years old, and last time I talked to him, he said, Mike, I don't get up till about 11:30. I ain't got no job, so I ain't waking up early. He said, I stay up late at night, watch TV, and he said, I get up early in the afternoon, 11:30. He said, man, I ain't getting up early for nothing anymore. So that's our Bet 365 segment here. Charlie, we'll be back to finish it off here in hour number two of Sports Talk on the Big 870 right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettay along with Steve Geller, Charlie Long. Let's go to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. Philip, thank you for waiting. Philip, you're in the huddle with Mike, Steve, Charlie.
Hey, guys. Real quick, I was just watching on social media the Pelicans, you know, shots of them at practice, you know, shoot around and stuff. And the thought hit me with the shooting woes that they have in the Smoothie King, especially our three-point shooters. Couldn't they elect to go practice in the Smoothie King? I mean, it's too late now. I mean,
that's funny you say that, Philip. I always thought the same thing. Why not practice in the arena?
We've talked about that before.
Well, Philip, you're 100% right, by the way. I think the numbers are about 3% worse at home than they are on the road as far as three-point shooting goes. Like, you've seen all these moments, and especially on their road trips, you know, their most recent one, it was a great example. They were killing the Warriors at their own game. Like, the Warriors changed basketball, like, in how many three-point shooters you take and you make. It also seems, I don't know if you feel the same way, Philip. I know I had to double check the numbers on it, but it feels like they take fewer three pointers at home too. You know, like, I don't know why. Yeah. I can't really explain it. Like, they make fewer three pointers and they take fewer three pointers at home. And that's a huge aspect of their offense. When they're hitting those threes, they're really tough to beat.
No, I don't get that, Philip. I really don't. It perplexes me too. We've had other people ask about it, but we'll have to get somebody from the Pelicans to answer that.
Okay, guys.
Thanks, Philip.
Thank you so much for the call, Philip. Right. Appreciate it, bud. Guys, man, and you know, again, so much interest in this game, and because I think of the matchups of what has happened in the past that the Pelicans have gotten them. Again, the odds of you winning six straight games is really, really tough to beat. But my thing about it is there is a reason that you won five straight.
You match up well against them. I mean, that's
there is a reason for that.
Now, the thing about the three-point shooting, I just want to clarify, to those that don't think 3% is a lot, over the course of an 82-game season, it's a gigantic number of three-pointers that you're missing at home versus hitting on the road. So it's a really big spot for guys like Trey Murphy and Herb Jones and even Jose Alvarado, CJ McCollum, obviously, to step up and lead the Pels to victory.
We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 right after this news break.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.